And sometime in the future, I'd like to go through the transition of Romans 6, 7, and 8. Well, that's a big chunk to take off one time. And the Lord just kept putting this thing on my heart about these three questions. And the elders of this assembly have been gracious enough once again to let me have the opportunity to share with you, and I just want to thank them. Mark had asked me if I would share this morning, and I said, well, I'd like to, but we've got company, we've got Thanksgiving, and then I had family come down from Tallahassee that spent the weekend with us, and I was almost reluctant to do this because of time factor of preparation, because I ended up talking to my newfound family, Michael. I have my father, my biological father, I actually found when I was like 52, and they all came down. So I ended up talking to him, Don Gadoni, about the Lord to about 1:30 in the morning, and then got up this morning, and I'm like throwing my notes together to present to you. But you guys are family, and you're always very gracious to me. But please get your Bibles out, because we're going to go through a journey here, and it's all to lead up to the opportunity for you folks to give thanks for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in your own life. And so all of this is just preparation for that. But we're going to be running through a lot of stuff here. So we could go to Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. And if I could ask Don Clark to open us up in prayer, that would be a blessing for me. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 9, verse 18. And then I'm going to skip over to Matthew, verse 16 here, chapter 16. There's three questions that I have for us. And I'm going to read out of Matthew first, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 9, verse 18. It says, Matthew 16:13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? That's the first question. Who do men say that I am? Verse 14, it says, so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said to them, the second question, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now the corresponding verse to this is over in Luke chapter 9. He asked the same question. He says, you got to remember that he had just fed the 5,000, and the disciples are on an emotional high here. I mean, how many people do you know can actually make loaves and fishes materialize out of thin air? Even the greatest prophets, I don't know, have that opportunity to do that. And so he asked the question here, he says, in verse 18, he says, and it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked him and said, who do the crowds say I am? So who do the men say that I am? Who do the crowds say I am? And so they answered and said, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah. Others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. And Jesus said, he strictly warned them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. So if you go a little bit over to verse 9 here, it refers to Herod here, because Herod in verse 7 says the tetrarch, he was perplexed because he thought John had risen from the dead, or the old prophets had risen again. And if you remember the story, because we just sang a Christmas song here, is that his father, Herod the Great, tried to murder him when he was a baby. The story of Jesus Christ is, he claims to be God in the flesh, but the testimony of the crowds and the people were a little contrary to that, and even the disciples had a difficult time
understanding that, even to the point in time that he rose from the dead. And so if you go back to Luke, one of the last verse I want to read to you is in John chapter 8, verse 53, if you can go there, please. And this is our third question. Verse 52, it says, the Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead in the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? You know, that's the biggest question in the history of the world. Who does Jesus make himself out to be? That's the trillion-dollar question. You know, we used to do the million-dollar question. Now it's getting in the billion, now we're into the trillion. So the trillion-dollar question, who does Jesus make himself out to be? A lot of people talk about Jesus. A lot of people add Jesus to their lives. A lot of religions have attached Jesus into their philosophy. But who does Jesus say he is? And so we're going to answer some of those three questions there. The first one, what do men say, crowd say? What do the disciples say, and what does Jesus say? So if you can go back to Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and I think it's wonderful that Peter read from John chapter 1 this morning, because when Jesus started his ministry, he went to see his cousin John at the Jordan River, and it says in John chapter 1 here, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this is he whom I said, after me comes a man who was preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. I do not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And the next day, John stood with the two disciples, and after looking at Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And then the two disciples followed Jesus. And then later on, Philip says to Nathanael, we found him, whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can any good come out of Nazareth? So right from the beginning is this controversy about who Jesus is. Can any good come out of Nazareth? Behold, we found him, the prophet, the one. So when Jesus leaves there and is preaching with authority, he goes all the way back to his hometown. Now, isn't that the way it should be? That when we come to Christ, who's the first people we want to share the good news with?
Our family.
That's right. It's our family. It's our friends. And so he goes back to Nazareth. And then it says in verse 16 of chapter 4 of Luke here, it says, and he came to Nazareth, and he had been brought up. And his custom was, when he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And he quotes Isaiah here, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all eyes were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That is an incredible statement, because they knew this was a messianic text. And Jesus was saying, this is now being fulfilled in your presence here. They all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, you will surely say to this proverb, physician, heal yourself. And whatever we have done in Capernaum, we also hear in your country. Then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet has accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout the land, but none of them was Elijah sent except Sepharah and the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Then all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him over the cliff. So here he is proclaiming the fulfillment of this messianic text is going to be in him. And what is the reaction? Murder. Murder. They want to murder him for making this statement. So who do the crowd say that I am? Brothers and sisters, if you could turn over to Mark chapter 2. And the story of the healing of this paralytic here. In verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And that's a true statement. Only God can forgive sins. So the question is, who is this Jesus here? In verse 7, it just demonstrates once again that they wanted to murder him. Now he's blaspheming. Chapter 2, verse 16. This is another thing that Jesus is accused of. He says, "And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to the disciples, 'How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?'" Verse 23. "Now it happened when he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples plucked the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' And but he said to them, 'Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, and those with him, and how he went into the house of the Lord in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him?' And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.'" But verse 28 says this, "Thus therefore the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Only God is the Lord of the Sabbath. But now Jesus is attaching the fact that he's the Son of Man, in one sense, once again, giving testimony to who he is here. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "He entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand, and they watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' And he said, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And so when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved in the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the others. Then immediately the Pharisees and the Herodians decided how they might destroy him." I don't know. I would just look at it as this is miraculous. This man has just been healed, and yet in their hearts, it's another reason to want to commit murder. Chapter 3, verse 21, starting in 20, it says, "The multitude came together so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people," Jesus' own people, "heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, 'He's out of his mind.'" He's out of his mind. His own family said, "He's crazy." And then immediately it says, "The scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, 'He has Beelzebub.'" Beelzebub is a name for Satan. It's the Lord of the flies. Flies hang around dead people. And they're saying that he's Beelzebub. In Mark chapter 6, if you could turn over there, please. "What do the crowd say I am? What do the men say I am?" Chapter 6, verse 1, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. We already read this. And the works that are performed by his hands. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and not his sisters here? And they were offended at him. Jesus is going to offend you. He's going to offend you, brothers and sisters, because he's claiming to be God in the flesh. And even though they were waiting for the Messiah, and they had a brief understanding of all of who the Messiah was, they really couldn't comprehend and get their head around when the Messiah actually was in their midst. It also says in John chapter 7, verse 5, even his brothers did not believe in him. And then when he went to go help Jairus' daughter, when Jairus was pleading with them, and he says, the little girl is not dead, but she's asleep. The people laughed and scorned him. Laughed and scorned. You could turn over to John chapter 7 for me for a moment. That'd be wonderful. Verse 11, chapter 7 of John. And the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him and said, he's good. He's a good man. He's good. And others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. However, no one spoke openly to him for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And in verse 15, the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? He didn't go to the rabbinical schools. Excuse me, say that three times real fast. How can this man, he doesn't know his letters. He's an uneducated man. He's not part of the scholarly class. Now in Matthew 14, 26, when Jesus comes to them walking on the water, they said that he was a ghost. And then when he bid Peter to come out and walk to him, and then Peter started sinking, and they raised him up, in their awe, the disciples said, truly, this is the Son of God. In John 5:5, if you guys would be kind enough to turn one page back, it's the story of the man that was infirmity for 38 years. And in verse 14, he healed him. See that he found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest any worse thing can come upon you. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus, and sought to kill him. The man was healed after 38 years, and their response was to murder him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them. Remember the third question? Who's Jesus say he is? My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. If you could turn over to John 8, starting in verse 48, the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you're a Samaritan? He's not even a Jew anymore. They reduced him to being an outcast, a Samaritan. And have a demon? And Jesus said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead in the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets that are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And then they took up stones to throw him, but Jesus hid himself and went out through the temple. Jesus claims here to be the I Am. And if you know your Old Testament, when Moses was commissioned to go to Egypt to deliver his people out of bondage, he asked the question, who shall I say is sending me to do this marvelous work? And God responds and says, the I Am that I Am, I Am sent you, the self-existing one. God of Israel, Jesus is equating himself to be the I Am that spoke to Moses in the burning bush. And that's why the Jews, instead of accepting him for who he was, considered it blasphemy and wanted to murder him once again. In John 10:30, it says, I and the Father are one. Now the question is Jesus the I Am? He says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the vine. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, another place, I am the door. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in Revelation, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You could turn to Mark chapter 14 for me, please. Verse 60. The high priest wants to ask the question. 59, he said, even then, they did not testimonies agree. And the high priest in verse 60 says, stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you? But he kept silent and answered nothing. And again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you say? And they condemned him to be worthy of death, because he claimed to be the I Am. If you skip over to Luke 22 for me, please. I'm only doing this because I love to hear the pages turn. I can remember the first time I went to church in Good News Chapel and I heard the pages of the Bible turning. And people knew their scriptures and knew the word. Verse 66 in Luke. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. And he said, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit at the right hand of the power of God. And they said, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. And the whole multitude of them rose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation. Now he's a pervert. And forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar. Now he's a tax protester. And he himself is Christ, a king. So Pilate asked him and said, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered and he said to him, it is as you say. And then he sent him over in verse 7 to Herod. And he belongs to Herod's jurisdiction in verse 7, and he, who was also in Jerusalem. And Herod saw Jesus. He had exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped that he would see some miracle done by him. And he questioned him with many words. But he answered him nothing, and the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him and arrayed him with a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. And the very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for before that they had been enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he would call together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, he said to him, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed I have examined him in your presence. I have found no fault in this man, concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod. For I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For it was necessary for him to release one of them at the feast. And they all cried away at once, away with this man, release us Barabbas, who was a murderer. And then verse 20, Pilate therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And he said to them a third time, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men prevailed. And the chief priests prevailed. So then he was led out to be brutally murdered. A man that came into the world to save the world. And from the day that he was born, men after men after men wanted to murder him. But why did they want to murder him? Because he claimed to be the Son of Man, the Messiah. He claimed to be the Son of God, which made him equal to God. And then he claimed to be the great I Am of the Bible. You go over to Luke 24 here, and I'm going to quickly say this, because I don't have time to go through the text. Here's two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And Jesus comes alongside them, and he's clothed himself from them. They don't recognize who he is. And he explains all through the scriptures exactly why the Messiah had to die. And if you go over to verse 29 here, it says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day far spent. And he went in to stay with them. And now it came to pass that he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened up the scriptures to us? See, that's the Holy Spirit working in your lives, brothers and sisters. That's when Jesus, who is the I Am, died on the cross such a brutal death and then rose from the dead, is drawing you onto himself through the Holy Spirit. And you feel that conviction in your heart. Because prior to this, the disciples were now cowering and hiding in an upper room. They had seen all the miracles. They had been with him for 3 years. And yet when he appeared to him, they thought he was a ghost. Thomas said, until I stick my fingers in his hands, in his side, I will not believe him. And when Jesus appeared to him and asked him, bidded him to do that, Thomas falls down on his knees and calls him Lord and my God, and worships him as God. The first commandment of the Ten Commandments, to have no other gods before me. So to worship Jesus, he either is God, or you are violating the first commandment. I'm going to finish here in Acts chapter 2. And that leads us to where we are this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. When Jesus appeared to the disciples, poured out his spirit on them in the upper room, and then they went up to Galilee. And then they came back, and then the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them in great power. As Peter was encouraging that this sermon be preached, I know I'm saying it in monotone, but that doesn't dispel the power of God's word here. These three questions, who do men say I am? Who do the crowd say I am? Who do you say I am? And then who does Jesus say he is? Peter gets up in verse 22 of Acts 2 here and says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in our midst, in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held in it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he both is dead and buried in the tomb, and this with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ and sit on his throne. He, foreseeing and spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not to be left in Hades, nor his flesh be see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Who do you say I am to his disciples? Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father, he promised with the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, and saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And in verse 42 brings us to where we are today. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And that's where we are, brothers and sisters, 2,000 years from now. Who do men say I am?
Who do the crowd say I am? You're going to deal with that every day. Tomorrow when you go to work, who do they say I am? The blasphemer, the crazy person. All of those things. And he says to the disciples, who do you say I am? This is the opportunity for you to get up this morning. Say, who do you say I am? Because Jesus, only God, make a new covenant. Only God can make a covenant with Noah, not flood the earth again. Only God can make a covenant with Abraham on the nation of Israel. Only God could bring the people out of Egypt and have a Sinaitic covenant. And only God in an upper room can say, this is the New Testament in my blood. Only God can do this. And the God of the universe wants us to remember what has done for us here.